Interlude, the Alderaan Flotilla. Asteroids tumble through space. They drift and spiral. And when one hits the perimeter shield, it breaks. Bits drift, pulverized, as the rest of the rock pirouettes away to join the rest of its crumbling brethren. Every time it happens, it hurts Tevin Gale's heart. Because that asteroid is a piece of his world. Was a piece of his world, anyway. Out there waits an infinite black space horizon of Alderaan, now reduced to rock. The flotilla is safe, at least. 7 ships belong to the flotilla now, including the Alderaanian frigate Sunspire. Another gift from the nascent Republic. Or rather, another gift from their princess. The ships float near to one another, gathering in a circle and protected by the deflector shield to keep out both the asteroids and, hopefully, marauders.
The galaxy is drifting toward lawlessness, he thinks.
Better that, though, than choked in the black steel gauntlet of Darth Vader. Out in the black, demo droids drill and dig into the asteroids, one by one. They look like fireflies out there, with their bright orange light flickering from their cutting lasers. Those droids look for anything of note from the world the Alderaanians lost. Artifacts, remains, fragments of precious stones or minerals or metals. Even a single brick would be a find. Accessing any of this wasn't even an option under Imperial rule. The Empire blockaded all access to the Alderaanian graveyard. Behind him, the argument, the one he tries to tune out, continues. Eaglin Valmor is up and pacing, as is her wont.
This is our home. This patch of sky is ours. Our world was here. And the Diaspora has returned us to this place. We are home, and I will not leave it.
She tugs on the loose braid from her ice-blonde hair. She's young, Gale thinks, unlike himself. But she's got a vital heart. He likes her. She and the others are not royals. There exists only one of those now. But they are what the world has left. Alderaan has to be ruled by someone, and the commoners are what remains. Valmor is not queen, but rather Regent Administrator.
Bah!
Says Ikar Orlis, once a teacher at a university. The man sits back in his chair, idly scratching at the peaky beard rising up off his jowls like mountains of chef's meringue.
This is no world, Regent Administrator. Forgive me for saying, it's just rock. Blasted, wretched rock. The Empire turned our world into salt and dust. And though I'm old, I for one don't want to be like some geriatric clutching to his chest the remnants of what once was. It's time to demand resettlement. I've prepared a list of worlds we could colonize.
That's not how it works, chimes in Argus Tanzer. Argus is a young bureaucrat, possessing a handsomeness that looks less cultivated and more like someone simply carved him out of quartzine. Argus thrusts up a finger, gesturing with it as he speaks. The New Republic won't be keen on us just picking some planet and resettling there. There's a process. He lowers his voice when he adds, not that anyone quite knows what the process is. Orlis barks.
All the more reason to seize the chance now. We can claim that the Republic simply did not have their bows tied and they're not cinched. We seize upon their ignorance.
Besides,
adds Janus Pole, an elder diplomat, a small woman as sharp and as pale as a broken tooth. She steeples her fingers and stares over them.
We are not yet members of the Republic. We are,
says Ryana Tor. She's young, too young to be here, Gale thinks. But when the Empire destroyed their world, what was left but those who were living off-world? Ryana was with her missionary parents, part of a roving school dedicated to helping those in the galaxy who could not so easily help themselves. Now she's back and fulfilling a similar mission, isn't she?
We can't help ourselves,
Tevin thinks. He reminds himself.
We're all just asteroids tumbling into one another.
Ryana continues, visibly nervous as she says,
We are a member of the New Republic. Leia is one of the most vital members.
And yet we have no senator,
Orlis says.
We've no representation. We've no vote. What has Leia given us? Is she even truly our princess? None of us are royals. Why do we think she would listen to us?
It's time to speak up. Gale turns and offers words in a stern tone when he says,
Leia has already listened to us. She's given us this flotilla. Four of these ships are from her. The supplies we use to survive are from her. We exist gathered together because of the efforts of her and Yvonne Verlain and the other Alderaanians working on Chandrilla. I'll not have her name sullied in this room.
That earns murmurs and mumbles of both agreement and dissent. He hopes the dissenters will change their tune soon enough. As if on cue, in the center of the Korobite table, a table carved from one of the asteroids and formed of Alderaanian bedrock and schist, lights up with an incoming message. Above the table floats Rickert Beagle, one of the comm officers on the Sunspire.
We have incoming ships, he says, visibly worried. Who is it?
The Regent Administrator asks, leaning in.
We don't know, but the ships are big.
They damn well should be,
Tevin thinks. Hauling cargo that big, well, you just can't pull it along with a couple of tug-tugs. The worry rises in the room. Whispers of pirates or bandits. Fear of a resurgent empire. Or perhaps worse, some brutal fragment of what remains of the empire. Certainly rumors have persisted of various worrisome remnants of the imperial forces that have gone mad out there in space. Rickert suddenly says,
Wait! We have a signature. Code clearance says it's New Republic.
Beyond the asteroid field, ships begin to pop out of hyperspace. Big ships. Cargo freighters whose cargo will not fit within those ships' bellies. Cargo so big, it must in fact be contained in its own shield, lashed to the ships with magna beams. The scrap they haul is epic in size. Huge, curved slices like the rind of some fruit designed only for the massive hand of an old god. Those with Tevin gather at the glass, staring out.
What am I looking at?
Valmore asks.
It is a gift from our princess. I had to pull quite a few strings just to get this on the table. But as it turns out, nobody was really doing anything with it. It was just going to end up as scrap elsewhere. I started the ball rolling, but it was Leia who really made it happen. Her and Yvonne.
Orlis growls.
I still don't know what that is or why we'd want it.
But Tanzer sees it. He smirks.
It's pieces of that damnable Death Star, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Tevin laughs and nods.
They reduced us to scrap. Now we get their scrap as reparations for war. This is just the first lot of it, too. Quite a bit more coming if we say the word.
We could build a whole space station of our own,
the Regent Administrator says, beaming. She presses her hands against the glass, and therein lies the wonderment of a child, even though she is one no longer.
That's my hope, Tevin says. What say the rest of you?
Orlis grumbles some kind of reluctant acquiescence, then stomps off. Pol, another dissenter, shrugs.
We can try this, but resettlement will still be on the table. And we must be afforded a voice in the Senate if we are to aid the New Republic in any of its efforts to secure the galaxy.
Their conversation fades as Tevin looks at the Regent Administrator. An untested, untrained, politically naive young woman whose eyes are as big as moons and whose heart is as bright as 10 suns. The awe in her eyes is so tangible. Tevin thinks he could bask in it, drink it up even. "This is our future," she says, not to him, not to any of them, but to the glass and to the space beyond.
"Yes," he thinks. "I hope it is."